My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, I look forward to that opportunity. Thanks for coming on a day when we are celebrating baptisms together. So if you're a guest watching online or in the room, I just want to let you know today's going to be just a little bit different, and I'll just give you some hopefully what are helpful instructions. If you would, if you're our guest, go ahead and grab your smartphone right now. Take that out. I'm going to give you three options. You choose one of the three options. It'll get you to the same place. You can open up your browser and type in lpguest.com if you want to do that. You can hit the QR code on one of the chairs that's in front of you, or you can just take your phone and tap it on the placard and hit the link whenever it pops up. All those things will take you to the same spot. You'll see a button there that says guest. If you'll hit that button, take about 30 seconds. I would encourage you, just go ahead and do it right now, to fill out that guest card. The reason for that is, on the bottom of that guest card, you will see six different ministries that are listed there. We're already partnered with all six. They're doing great work in the city. They're fighting human trafficking. One of those organizations, like, it's their goal to end human trafficking in our city. One of them is fighting food insecurity, getting resources to people in some situations, right, who need it the most. There's one organization there that's speaking towards Bible literacy in children. You pick the one that's nearest to you, and we will make an extra $5 donation in your honor to that particular ministry and organization, just to give you the opportunity and the chance to do something good, kind, and maybe make a difference in somebody's life today. For those of you who are regular attenders and members, man, it is always exciting. It's an encouragement, right, for me to be able to tell you about how your financial giving here is making a difference, not just locally, but nationally and globally. From our network, we sponsor and support financially a little over 3,000 chaplains worldwide. Most of them are military chaplains. Some of them work with law enforcement. Some of them work with schools, but most of them are military chaplains. And recently, a group of cadets graduated boot camp down in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And the chaplains got together, our chaplains, and they gave every one of those graduates a Bible, presented the gospel to them, and then presented them the opportunity to be baptized, just like we're going to see people baptized today. And I'll show you a picture of all the servicemen and women who were baptized, over 70 of them in Fort Jackson. And things like that happen through your partnership and through your giving. So if you would like to give your tithes and offerings today, whenever the service is over, as you're walking out, there's two black boxes on the wall if you want to give your offerings there. If you'd like to give electronically, you can do that as well through website, text, or the app, if you'd like to do that. So when we talk about baptism, before we get started this morning, we want to be really clear about what we mean, believe, and teach about baptism. And there are really three things that I think are important. Baptism relates to our core value of gospel identity, right? Gospel identity, we say, means that we are made new. And that's tied to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's verse 17 there, where Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, any man, any woman in Christ, then what? He, she is a new creation. And baptism is an expression of that in at least three ways. Here's one way. John the Baptist is teaching in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him. In other words, would have prevented Jesus saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But then Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, John, consented. Right? So the first thing is that baptism is public. In these verses, John the Baptist, with the ministry of Jesus about to begin, he kind of throws a bit of a curveball. Because the only time that Hebrew people understood the concept of baptism was when a Gentile converted to Judaism, an adult Gentile converted to Judaism. They would be baptized. Now, the whole idea of baptism, right, in their context and culture, is that that was when somebody needed to be cleansed, right? Hebrews didn't feel like they needed to be cleansed. They're the children of Abraham, but they thought that Gentiles did. So John comes along, and John the Baptist says, hey, no, everybody in the water. Because he says he preached a baptism of repentance. Repentance is just a big Bible word that means we as human beings square up with God. In other words, we're born into this world flawed, broken by sin. None of us in the room today would say that we are perfect, right? And so because we are not perfect, we needed a perfect Savior. John understood that Jesus was on the way, that we all needed repentance. So John says, hey, everybody in the water, baptism becomes this public statement that you are in Christ and that Christ is in you, right? That he's holding you. It's a public statement that you are identifying with him, bringing your life under his authority, that he's the leader, he's the boss, right, of your life and of your heart. So baptism is public. Second thing, baptism is personal. And what I mean by personal is it's a reflection of the fact that you have received Christ in repentance and faith. Baptism is this public announcement of a personal decision. And so whenever you receive Christ personally, the reflection of that, the first outward step of that is baptism, to say to everyone, right, that you, like I said, are in Christ and Christ is in you. Now that's important for us because there are a number of different views, and I want to be very respectful of other views, but especially in the Midwest, there are a lot of churches who baptize infants, right? Maybe that's you. Maybe you were baptized as an infant. We look at that and say that we believe that was really an expression of your parents' hope that someday you would follow Christ, that you would take personal ownership of your faith, right? As an infant, right, you can't do that. You don't have an understanding, right, of faith and repentance as an infant. But that was an expression of your parents' hope. And we would say that as an adult, if you have now laid hold of that, if you have experienced personal salvation, then you should experience what the New Testament, I think, refers to as believer's baptism. That's what we call it. In other words, everyone in the New Testament was baptized after salvation by immersion. There were no infants that were baptized in believer's baptism, right, in the New Testament. So baptism is public, baptism is personal, right? It's about you taking ownership of your faith. And then the third thing is what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So the third thing is that baptism is a picture. So whenever you're baptized, right, it's a picture of Jesus going into the grave, right, when he was crucified on the cross to pay for our sins, and then he was miraculously resurrected coming out of the grave. So when you're baptized, you actually share the story of Christ. The word baptizo means to be immersed or to be dunked under. So when you're baptized, you're dunked under, you're immersed underwater, and when you come out, it's a picture, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So again, baptism is this public, it's this personal picture of Christ. We talk about it like a wedding ring, if that makes sense. I can take my wedding ring off, and I'm still married, right? This wedding ring is a sign or a symbol of the fact that Angie and I made a covenant together years ago. So when you see the ring, you understand what's behind the ring, what this covenant commitment that we've made together. That's really another facet of baptism. So we have today, I think there's about 23 or 24 people who have sent in testimonies. You're going to get to hear and read their incredible stories up on the screen as each of them is baptized this morning. And at the same time, we want to extend an invitation to you to be baptized this morning. If you haven't experienced believer's baptism post-salvation by immersion, we want to extend that invitation to you to be baptized this morning. Now, I know as soon as I say that, right, you're going to start to say, well, Dean, I can't do that because I didn't bring clothes to do that. It is your lucky day because we have brand new t-shirts, brand new shorts in all shapes and sizes, all various kinds of underwear, shapes, sizes. We've got socks. We've got makeup, hair dryers, individual changing rooms. We've got everything you need to be baptized this morning. Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, but Dean, if I was going to do that, like, I would want my family and my friends to be here and kind of have this experience. You're in luck, because this service is being broadcast all over the internet. You can send somebody a text. You can send somebody, right, a message and say, hey, you got a chance. As a matter of fact, in the first service this morning, Austin was sitting down here on row two, and when we did this a couple of years ago, Austin wasn't planning on being baptized that morning, but when God started to speak to him, he texted some family and some friends, and they all logged in and got to experience his baptism. Now, some of you would say, well, Dean, I'm thinking that if I was going to do that, like, I want to wait and do it with my kids or my spouse or my... And can I just tell you, wouldn't it be great if you would just obey what Jesus has laid out for you in Scripture? And I think it'll be a much greater chance that whomever it is that you're hoping and praying for will follow you, will follow your step of obedience. And a couple of years ago when we did this, there was a couple, and they were kind of thinking that. They were like, yeah, we're going to wait on our daughter. But God spoke to them. They got up. They went out to talk their way through how to be baptized that morning. They got everything. They got their towel. They got their shirt. They got everything. They were in line, and they looked over their shoulder, and there was their daughter who had followed them in the process. So maybe your obedience will call somebody else's obedience, somebody that you love and that you're waiting on. Some of you are going to say, but Dean, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I serve on a team here, and like, people kind of see me as a certain kind of spiritual person, even though I've never been baptized or haven't experienced believer's baptism. And what are people going to think? Can I just say, who cares? Who cares what people, isn't it more important to care what God thinks, right? Isn't it more important to obey God and what he's laid out in his word than it is to wonder what everybody else, right, what everybody else is thinking or wanting or their impressions of what you should or should not do. So this morning, there are people in the first service who came. We had one lady who was at the grocery store listening to the service online. And she heard the message, the music, God spoke to her. And so she finished checking out the grocery store, texted in that she wanted to come. She came in, was baptized in the first service. So if you're in Kroger right now and you can hear me, God's doing something in the produce aisle. They want to check out and get here. We had some people, two young guys that you're going to see baptized in this service, two young, strapping teenage dudes. And they came to the first service, and God spoke to them, and they turned around and they left. On the way home, they started having this conversation. They flipped that car around and they came back, and they're going to get baptized, right, in this service, because they want to be obedient. They want to take that, that step of faith. So maybe that's you this morning. And right here, right now, as I'm talking, God's Spirit is speaking to you about taking that step. It was about the same in the first service. We had 20 plus people who were scheduled to be baptized in the first service. And we had more than that who made the decision spontaneously this morning to take that step of going public with their faith. And you're gonna be like, but Dean, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't, some of you, this may be the first time you've been to church in years. Maybe you're like, listen, I don't even know, like, I'm not even sure I am a Christian. What do I do? Here's what you do. In a moment, I'm gonna pray. We're all gonna stand up. All you have to do is walk out those back doors while we're singing during this first round of baptism, or even walk out while I'm praying. And our team is out there. They've got blue t-shirts on. They will greet you, and they will walk you through the process. If you don't know Jesus yet, they'll introduce you to Jesus on the way around the corner. You can pray in faith, come to know him personally, and then take the step of going public with your baptism. There's a great little text in Acts chapter 8 where the disciple Philip, he's in a chariot, this road south of Jerusalem, this desert road. And when he's there, he encounters one of the first African people to ever get to hear the gospel post-salvation, post-resurrection of Christ. And this guy had been to Jerusalem, this Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem, and he couldn't understand. He didn't understand the message of Jesus, and it just didn't make sense. He was reading in Isaiah 53, and God had Philip collide with him, right? Intersect him on that road. And he asked that Ethiopian, he's like, you want to get up here in my chariot? Ethiopian comes in, he says, you don't understand what you're reading? How can I understand unless someone guides me? And Philip's like, well, God sent me here, right, for you. And he explains who Christ is, and that Ethiopian comes to know Christ. And as they're going down the road in the chariot, they're passing by water, some sort of body of water. And the Ethiopian, he looks at Philip, and he says, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? It's a great question. The answer is nothing. So I'm going to say to you this morning, right? Here is water. What prevents you from being baptized this morning? Nothing. Nothing. So I'm going to pray for us. And listen, don't wrangle, don't argue with God, don't bargain, don't negotiate, right? God's word's clear. God's spoken. If it applies to you, this is the moment for you to respond, okay? So everybody stand up. I'll pray for us, and then we'll start to sing and get to experience the first group. Father, we come to you today, laying our lives in front of you in full repentance, turning our hearts and lives your direction, saying that you're the authority, the boss, the leader, and we are not. So God, I pray for this first group, pray for the obedience of these folks and what you're doing in their lives. I pray, God, for people who are listening right now, who came this morning, God, who maybe weren't planning on this, but you're speaking, and those people are going to respond, and their obedience, God, will be an incredible encouragement to the body. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who can carry that kind of weight? Oh, it was my turn till I met you.
That's it.
I was breathing, but not. Try to hide. It was my turn till I met you.
Oh, we see
you call.
So we've got more folks who've come spontaneously, just in case you're wondering if you're sitting there, than we have people scheduled to be baptized this morning. So the next three that you're going to see, the first was Cato, and he was scheduled, so you'll see his story. But because of what God was doing in him, his brothers came spontaneously, so the three of those brothers are going to be baptized together. In the first service this morning, I just shared with our congregation that, you know, I've done two funerals in the last 2 days, right? So there's a moment, right, for all of us where we want to think forward to, hey, I'm not going to be in this world. I'm going to be in the presence of God. And one of those funerals on Saturday was a well-known baseball coach in our city. He was the head coach over in Reynoldsburg for over 30 years and a number of other schools, won state championships. And it was an incredible, incredible funeral. But spontaneously this morning, his widow came to be baptized this morning. They've been talking about it for years, and she took the step of coming, being obedient to Jesus, both as an honor to Christ and as an honor to her late husband. And one of my favorite moments, a couple years ago, we were doing this on Sunday morning. I was walking backstage and headed in to the area where folks were who were being baptized. And I kind of ran face to face into this guy. He was a little older than me. He had his towel underneath his arm, had his made new t-shirt on. And he looked at me and he said, 71 years old, about time. You know what? Maybe this morning for you, it's about time. So we're going to stand up here again in just a second. And we're going to begin to see people baptized. Matter of fact, we're going to put their names up on the screen in a group. We're going to do our best to match people and names, but we're going to put them up there in a big group so you can see just some of the people who've come. So this is your opportunity when we stand and sing. Just walk out those. Don't let the moment pass by if God is speaking to you. All right? Let's stand up together. We're going to sing and we're going to worship.
Thank you. chosen generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all will come before us, and all will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, it stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, oh, holy, all creation cry.
This is Jill, and I was just happened to be talking to Jill and her husband backstage before they came up. And Jill just mentioned that when they came to Life Point, they came at kind of a low ebb, right? Moment in their marriage, right? And they're coming this morning as a testimony to what God does, not just in our lives personally, but God's putting marriages back together. Y'all, why would you wait? Why would you not come to Christ? This is not just a testimony, right, of what God does in salvation, but what God's doing in restoring our relationships and making all things new. Jill, it is a privilege to baptize you as a sister in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Running my way, I know I was
neat for just a second. So we have more folks who've come, more folks to baptize. I look at the hour and I look at what time it is. So I'm gonna pray for us here in just a second. If you have kids who are in LifePoint Kids, I'm sure those folks will stay as long as folks are coming to be baptized. But if you need to go get your kids, I wanna give you the opportunity to do that. But before that, I just wanna say that sometimes in a moment like this, God speaks and God stirs in us. And maybe you came today and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you haven't yet repented and placed your faith in Christ. And I don't wanna lose the spiritual moment here with you. Maybe God is speaking to you about taking that first step of salvation. And if that's you, I wanna give you the opportunity to respond right now. I'm gonna pray up here in just a second, and you can pray with me right there in your seat to receive the greatest gift ever offered, ever given, Christ on the cross for our sins and his resurrection power to change our lives. All right, let's pray together. God, I pray for anybody who's here who doesn't know you, anybody who's here who doesn't yet have a relationship with you, that this, God, would be their moment, their about time moment this morning. So if that's you, you can just pray with me right there in your seat. Just pray something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for leaving heaven, coming to earth. Thank you for dying on a cross to pay for my sins. And this morning, Jesus, I'm asking that you would forgive me of my sins and make me clean and new. I'm saying today, Jesus, that I want you to be the authority. I want you to be the leader. I want you to be the boss, the one who's in charge of my life. And I want to say thank you for this salvation gift. As we just kind of continue in that spirit, that attitude of prayer, I'm just going to ask that you would allow me to be the first person that you tell that you've taken that step right now, just by raising your hand. I'm not going to point at you. I'm not going to ask you to give a speech or anything. Just put your hand up and say, yep, today was my day. Thank you. Awesome. Yep, thank you. Just put them up, take them right back down. Say, yep, today was my day. Lord, we are grateful for all that you have done, all that you are doing, all the folks who still here, God, are left to be baptized this morning. The stories that you are writing in the life of our local church is amazing, and we're grateful for it and grateful to be part of it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.